Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are in 2 Kings chapter 20 today, picking up where we left off yesterday. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege it is to gather together and study your word each day. We pray that you would be our teacher and our guide through this chapter. We pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to receive your truth, understand it, and respond in love and obedience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came in and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." And Isaiah said, "Bring a cake of figs, and let them take and lay it on the boil, that he may recover." And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or back 10 steps? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Rather let the shadow go back 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet called to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the steps of Ahaz. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah welcomed them, and he showed them all his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? From where did they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Why not, if there will be peace and security in my days?" The rest of the deeds of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made the pool and the conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his place. That is 2 Kings chapter 20, and it actually is a flashback. We're actually going back in time from chapter 19, the deliverance from the Assyrians, back to the time period about 10 years prior to that Assyrian invasion, and about 15 years prior to Hezekiah's death. So really, Hezekiah would not have been around for the Assyrian invasion if this intervention by the Lord in his health had not happened. Hezekiah is sick. Hezekiah is seen by Isaiah. And Isaiah comes to him and says, it's not good, Hezekiah. You got to set your house in order because you're going to die. You're not going to recover from this one. And Hezekiah here pleads to the Lord, asks Isaiah to plead also. So he pleads directly to the Lord. Now, O Lord, please remember. And Isaiah is walking out and he turns and he says, okay, I'm going to go back, because the Lord had told him that he's heard his prayer. He's seen his tears. He's going to heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. This is one of the pictures of the resurrection that were given in sort of typological foreshadowing in the Old Testament. Hezekiah was sick unto death, but in the third day he would rise up from his deathbed and he would go into the temple and worship the Lord. And that is what happened with the Lord Jesus. And in the same way, there was a supernatural sign at the death of Jesus that indicated that he was the Son of God and that God was going to raise him from the dead when the sky grew black in the middle part of the day. So there was a supernatural sign in the sky that when the centurion saw it, who supervised the crucifixion, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Similarly, Hezekiah here is given a supernatural sign from the Lord. He's even asked, what do you want to do? Do you want to have the shadow get longer or the shadow get shorter? And he says, not hard for a shadow to get longer. It seems to be the afternoon. And as the afternoon wears on, of course, the shadow gets longer. I want to see the shadow get shorter. And it does. It goes back 10 steps. So a supernatural sign in heaven, something happening in the afternoon in the sky that should not normally happen. Jesus died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and something in the afternoon happened that shouldn't have happened, and that is that darkness covered the whole land. So we've got this foreshadowing of this deathbed of Hezekiah and his coming resurrection 3 days later, the death of Jesus and his coming resurrection 3 days later. So all that seems fine, seems good, seems wonderful. But then, remember the context here. Judah and Jerusalem, they are under pressure from the Assyrians. This is before the Assyrians march directly on Jerusalem, but it's after the Assyrians have already conquered northern Israel. And so if you're in Judah and Jerusalem, you're running out of options because there's not too many people around you who are still alive and having survived the conquest of the Assyrians. And here comes someone from a faraway land, from the other side of the Assyrian Empire. And maybe if you can have an alliance with them, you can both resist from the two ends of the Assyrian Empire, and if they provide a distraction, that would pull the pressure off of you, you see. And so this is probably why Hezekiah let them in. He wanted to show the envoys from Babylon that he was a worthy ally, a worthy co-belligerent against the Assyrians because he had great wealth. But Hezekiah was relying on his own wealth, on his own status, on his own pride, rather than turning to the Lord. When these Babylonian emissaries came, he didn't even talk to Isaiah, because Isaiah had to come to him and find out, who is this who came to see you? Normally, Isaiah and Hezekiah had a pretty close relationship. So normally, Hezekiah would have said, hey, Isaiah, there's these people here from Babylon. Would you pray to the Lord and ask what I should do? He doesn't do any of that. He doesn't call for Isaiah. He doesn't consult with the Lord. He just shows them all the treasury of his house and of the whole city, really. And Isaiah says, that's not good. What you've done is just not good. You've been relying on your own wealth, and now you're going to suffer for it. Because these Babylonians, who you think are going to help you, they're actually going to be the ones to destroy you, to take you off in exile. Not you, but the next generation is going to suffer for your consequences. And then Hezekiah's response shows how, in this extended life period that God has given him, Hezekiah has become arrogant, proud, because he says, why not, if there will be peace and security in my days? You know, sometimes when we get a blessing from God, that blessing from God can be a ground for us to become proud, to become self-sufficient, become arrogant, to become puffed up and think that we are something. We forget that we would have nothing and we would be nothing if it had not been the Lord who was on our side and who gave us this. So Hezekiah forgets that. And he's going to suffer in the further generations. They're going to suffer for the sin of Hezekiah in growing arrogant and presumptuous and self-reliant. The end of the chapter simply tells us about some of the great works of Hezekiah. When we were in Israel earlier this month, we got to see where Hezekiah's water tunnel was in the city of David. Pretty impressive work when you realize they started digging on two opposite ends and working toward each other. No power tools, no electricity, no ability to be able to tell exactly where they were going to end up. But they worked from the two ends and they worked together and they came together in the middle and they broke through, guided by the hand of the Lord. So it's a pretty remarkable achievement through solid rock, just with hammer and chisel, this water tunnel to supply the newer part of the city in case of a siege. They were preparing for an Assyrian siege, which did not come during Hezekiah's day. And when the Babylonians would come to lay siege, that water tunnel would not help them. They would fall, which just goes to show men can achieve great things, even remarkable things, even things that are provided by God and blessed by God. But if we come to rely on those things, if we come to trust in those things rather than the one who gives them, they are going to end up being a snare for us and they will not lead us in the right way to go. So our lesson for today is trust in the Lord himself, not in the gifts that he gives, nor in our own accomplishments. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect King, who did trust in you with all of his heart for all of his days. And you vindicated that trust when you raised him up again from the dead. We thank you for Jesus, who has overcome sin and death for us. We pray that you bless us and strengthen our faith in Jesus. Help us to follow after him more closely day by day. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for 2 Kings 20. We are going to jump back to the book of Acts tomorrow and pick up with Acts 21. I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.